Welcome to the podcast, The Rock Weekly Podcast, that talks about news of the world of rock and metal and alternative. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you guys are all doing well. Thank you so much for last week. It's also, last week we set a new record for live views and everything. And I understand that had to deal with the lovely news we had all last week. Last week was not the good news podcast that we try to make it. However, you guys definitely made it fun. You had a good chat engagement. You guys were very generous to some of the stuff too. Thank you so much for joining. Joining us this week. I'm not going to say we have all good news this week. Asterisk, it's better than this week. Is that fair to say?
Better than
comparatively.
Yes.
Debatably.
I would say at least there's a good argument for this being a better week than last week. So thank you all for tuning in. Please hit the like button. 50 likes is the goal today. If we hit 50 likes, we will play Festival Rock or Flop, booking a random festival. Also, just like last week, if anyone does a $10 super chat or donates enough gifts, memberships, you will get your own custom membership, custom festival. Wow, I am really struggling this week and I should not be. However, last week we had Subhuman Fest and that worked out really well. So there's proof that it can work. So we now go over to Boston, where the news broke a couple days ago that another band from the 90s is most likely going to be wrapping it up, at least indefinitely, maybe not forever, but we're going to watch right now, just we can't play the audio, but for those who are not aware, yeah, there was a bit of a kerfuffle for Jane's Addiction. It's on screen right now. Rowan and Alex, if you're both watching the feed, I'm showing footage from a cell phone from the fan. And that is one belligerent Perry and a confused Dave Navarro. He took a swing at Dave, and it's taking at least one person to restrain a clearly out of his mind Perry. Now three people, now four. And Dave Navarro taking off his guitar, looking around, putting his guitar down and just unplugging, and that's about it. I'm not saying this is the end forever. I'm saying it's the end for a while. So
when you rewatch it.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, when you rewatch it, it's like it reads like a manic episode, just like nothing warranted it, at least like nothing we saw. And like, you know, it's just like when you look at it, it's just like,
see, like, I don't know. This is really good footage that a fan had from like that posted it online. It really, you see his facial expressions. You see like when he bumps into Dave Navarro, just something triggers on him and he just,
you know, you just see it like change in his face.
Yeah. So we have more to the story now and I'll let this play out a little bit. Hopefully it'll just keep looping. There's a sleeping puppy behind me, by the way. He finally calmed down. So, first off, the starter, from Jane's Addiction's main social media pages, to all the fans, the band have made the decision to take some time away as a group. As such, they will be canceling the remainder of the tour. Refunds for the canceled dates will be issued at your point of purchase, or if you purchase them from a third-party resale site like StubHub, SeatGeek, etc., please reach out to them directly. Thank you, Jane's Addiction. Now, very professional considering the circumstances, I understand why they're canceling. My heart goes out to you if you bought a ticket from StubHub or SeatGeek. Yeah. So now I go, and I'm just trying to get all this away. Then I want to get Alex and Rowan's thoughts. Perry Farrell issued a statement the day after that on his social media. This is the brunt of it. This weekend has been incredibly difficult after having the time and space to reflect. It is not only right that I apologize to my bandmates, especially Dave Navarro, fans, family, and friends for the actions during Friday's show. Unfortunately, my breaking point resulted in inexcusable behavior, and I take full accountability for how I choose to handle the situation. So, that's the apology. Any thoughts so far?
I mean, at least he's mentioning what happened, you know what I mean? Instead of just completely avoiding it or trying to cover it up and make it something it wasn't.
The cover up is sometimes the go-to. And so it's definitely not that. He's not trying to cover up his behavior.
I mean, like, if you try to cover up this behavior, this concert footage is actually good. You know, it's actually like good quality. Like, you can't just deny this. You clearly took a swing at him. Like, yes. I mean, like, if Dave wanted to, he could legally press charges.
There were many memes that were quite funny. One of which saying Dave Navarro was surprised that no one's tried to punch him before. It's like, okay, it's funny. But
I heard when people were saying, like, you know, Perry Farrell should, like, go into rehab. I've also seen people saying, like, he'll start tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the James addiction.
That's probably easy. Yeah. See, that's probably the easiest one, but still.
So it turns out his wife was there at the show. She made a statement also before Perry Farrell's apology. His wife said, and her name eludes me, I apologize, said that he was drinking heavily before the show and has been drinking heavily before other shows. She was greatly apologetic to Dave Navarro, but upset that the bassist who was trying to restrain Perry Farrell took a punch at Perry Farrell's ribs. To me, it didn't seem like anyone was trying to punch him. It just seemed like they're all trying to restrain the man. So it is a family affair when it gets to stuff like this. We now know that the last few weeks have taken some bands off the road or done some weird things. Jane's Addiction now added to that, and that tour is not postponed. It's canceled. Just straight up done. So
again, it's like it would be hard to kind of like just move on from that. I totally understand why they need to take a break. Also, yeah. By the way, like, I also got to ask, if he's like drinking heavily before every show, first of all, that's just like that is just like some sort of catastrophe waiting to happen. It's at the very least unprofessional. So like, I'm thinking like, what is he dealing with to even need to do that?
The fact that his wife confirmed it and several shows before, that leads me to believe, yeah, it had to have been that bad. Cause I can't imagine his wife would come out and say that.
You know, he's like, it's clearly saying she's clearly saying like he is a chronic alcoholic. Yeah.
Someone mentioned Eric Avery, underrated bassist. Yes. Underrated bassist for sure. Yes. And he totally helped completely avoid major catastrophe in this kerfuffle. If we want to call
kerfuffle
it that.
Is the polite word. No one got hurt, including Perry. And also the bassist Avery really did the right thing by restraining. He didn't like try to slam him to the ground, you know, and maybe he needed that, but he did not do it. So good for them. There's no happy.
Kudos.
Yeah. So there's no happy ending to this story right now. This is one where we hope for the best in a couple weeks, a month, and we find out other stuff, you know, and that's what we should be hoping for. I don't know what else there's going to be. And I use this for an example just because it's happened so many times. One of the times I remember is it was John Five. Excuse me. It took me a second to remember when he was the guitarist for Marilyn Manson.
Like, I know the clip you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't have the clip pulled up, but it was so tumultuous, like how awful Marilyn Manson was to John Five. John Five's talked about it many times. A live show, he finally got fed up and said, all right, fine. You want to step to it right now? And he wanted to fight Marilyn Manson on stage.
I remember like reading about that incident too. And I think at the same time, this kind of goes back to the idea that there's a bigger issue in the musician's personal life. Cause at least with John Five's case, if I remember correctly, like something happened with the family. I think it was a death in the family. If I remember correctly,
it was something outside of music related that was affecting him.
And but it still weighed heavy on him. And then like Marilyn Manson just being Marilyn Manson on stage, he kind of like pushes his bandmates. It's just like it's just not a good combination.
Reason I bring that up is there could be worse situations and the band still does seem to care for each other. But I don't think I have it pulled up anymore. Dave Navarro also posted a photo on his Instagram with a Jane's Addiction logo on the back of a guitar and it's saying good night. And that's the post. So it sucks if you're a Jane's Addiction fan. It sucks if you're a Foo Fighters fan. And it's confusing if you're a Linkin Park fan. It's been a wild 3 weeks.
So wild. I'm so tired.
We've all aged a little bit. Yeah, we've all aged just slightly over the past. So let's do this. Dave Navarro. I like doing this live. Any other thoughts before we move on? I just want to show that post of him. It's a perfect shot and summation of just him saying good night. And he is holding the guitar on stage with the Jane's Addiction logo. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Kind of a bad joke, but my friends and I were joking about it on a call. And someone said Perry was angry because he wasn't the host of Ink Master.
And my wife just made a post saying Dave Navarro has Ink Master to fall back on. Dave Navarro might have also thought, I am way too important and have way too much success to have to deal with this. It kind of does.
Am I the only one who knew Dave Navarro for Ink Master before her Jane's Addiction? I don't know. It's like
way back.
Yeah.
Rockstar Supernova or Rockstar in Excess when he was doing something. He was one of the judges on those shows. That's like my favorite Dave Navarro.
I know. Yeah. But that's like the thing. I had no context who Dave Navarro was before Ink Master, because that's just how young I am too.
So. Yeah. And Jane's Addiction has been had like long gaps of nothing. Like not even touring.
I know, yeah.
So,
and not to be mean, they're not like, they weren't like the most like mainstream, at least not in like the 2000s, 2010s, you know?
Not in that time now.
Yeah.
Their heyday was late 80s, early 90s, and they were big then, but even I would say, well, 90s, like throughout the 90s too, I would say, but Dave Navarro himself was also former like one-time guitarist for Red Hot Chili Peppers, and he was a star outside of music. He had that bad boy image. All the ladies loved. Some of the guys loved too. And also,
he was pretty.
Yeah. Also, my wife said, Dave Navarro's on Ink Master makes me mad since he's not a tattoo artist. So why is he a judge?
He's pretty.
Oh, gosh. It's sad that that's actually the perfect double response and it works so well. <That's the truth. laughs> Yep. Yeah. So Dave Navarro on all the VH1 specials, like he was always like a talking head. Of like going back and talking about music in the day. So yeah, there was a lot of that. So we'll let everyone know. Go ahead.
I seriously thought he was like, so I thought he was like big in the tattoo world. Cause again, I watched Ink Master before I knew who Jane's Addiction was. So I didn't have a freaking idea who this guy was. I didn't know who Walter Peck was. I didn't know who Chris Nunez was. I just thought they were all like well-regarded like tattoo artists. You know, I thought he would be like a Kat Von D type situation. Just like a really public tattoo artist or something.
I guess. Boy, that's a totally different lane though. Kat Von D. That's a different lane altogether though, I would say.
I know, yeah. I'm not direct comparison, but just you know. Like I thought he'd be like the guy in Kat Von D or something.
Wow, that's a phrase. Okay. As we move on now. No, you're good. I'm just trying to think of a good segue. There's not really, because talking about Kat Von D to this next topic might be a disaster, but it is the second biggest story.
I'm sorry for putting you in that situation.
And there is kind of somewhat a correlation. Warped Tour is supposedly going to return in 2025 for the 30th anniversary. Now,
do we have like a soundbite? It's just people screaming in horror.
Ooh, maybe on Discord. I don't have one uploaded on mine though.
We need a horror
stinger, right? Like a horror music icon stinger or something. That'd be fine too.
Yeah, just be like, run for your lives. Just people screaming in terror.
The reason why I said, because Kat Von D and what's his name? A makeup guru guy. That was associated with
Jeffrey Star.
Yeah, because he was on Warped Tour. Oh. So there, that's why I'm saying
that's
there
the
is.
The way I was going to use Kat Von D tattooed Jeffrey Star. And one time I went to Warped Tour and saw Jeffrey Star. Boom, perfect segue.
Yes, that's why I was saying there is a connection. And it's not the best connection you want to lead to with a segue. Well, let's talk about this. So, I do need to hit that emotional damage button over from Twitch. I should get that. That's a good one too. So Broken by Brian from Rockfeed, who has a great YouTube channel about music news. What we know for sure is that Kevin Lyman, the founder runner of Warped Tour, is going to be helping run Warped Tour dates, not a tour. This will be set festival style dates, kind of like they did in 2019. We don't know how many. We know this will not be a full tour. And as I said in a video I made of Should Warped Tour Return, I said, not the original way it was, not with that massive 50 tour date nonsense where everything was a disaster and at least five bands every year got accused of something. Some went to jail. This way, everything can keep tabs. There's destination cities. It can be safer. People can go home, including the bands. And it's a lot easier. However, I said in Associated with Live Nation, and that is the one thing people need to remember. The days of Warped Tour being $50 to see all your favorite bands all day are gone. Sad face in the chats, please. Yes, there's zero chance. Call me on it now if I'm wrong. You can come back to this video on YouTube and tell me I'm wrong. Fine. You know why? Because that means we get something good. But I'm calling it now. There is not a chance Live Nation is going to allow $50 tickets for Warped Tour 2025 at any venue. No way.
Yeah, no.
$50 is what it costs to get a water there.
$50 service fee, maybe. That you might get away with. Some people are talking about Warped Tour. I know that. Yeah. Oh, great. My chat is filled with Jeffree Star and Warped Tour discussion. Lovely. This is exactly what I wanted.
Someone said Jeffree Star is a creep. Understatement of the century.
Yeah, I know.
We can't talk about what Jeffree Star has been involved in because we don't want to be demonetized.
Not on this podcast. We can't. No, like last week's podcast was demonetized for like an hour or two until like I had asked it like for a manual review and they did it. It was fine just because of the topics we were covering of everything, everything last week, just everything. So I do not want to go down that rabbit hole. Yeah, and someone else just said, yeah, $50 fee if you're lucky for a service fee. Maybe you'll get away with that. Oh, and someone just said Ronald will definitely get 1,000% booked on the Falling Warped Tour return, Falling in Reverse. I can see that.
Good God. If I see that, I'm going to be like, God is dead. Curse. That people thought that is a good idea.
Someone just called it Curse Tour. Someone else just said, make sure Chris Hansen is at this tour. Goodness, guys.
Chris Hansen's just on the side. He's on the side of the stage. Just
on a stool with papers, just like holding them. It's like, all right, are you the one? Uh-huh.
No, no, he's just like, oh, no, wait. Chris, they lured some rock star into one of the vans and all stuff, like one of the tour vans. And it's just Chris Hansen be like, why don't you have a seat? And he's like at the counter.
I'll be honest. I would pay to see that. If we actually got to sit, like stand front row and watch a creep get busted, I'd kind of be into that. Just watch the 40 cops tackle the guy.
That would be the comeback of To Catch a Predator. It would just be at Warped Tour, and it's in like a tour van. That would be awesome.
I want to go around the I want to go around the bed. Alex, have you been to Warped Tour?
I have, yes.
More than one?
The last time I went, it was in 2009, though.
Okay, so it's been a while, but you've been to one. So, Rowan, have you ever been to one?
I have not.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I've been to three. Working all three as well in the 2010s. So I went to the later years, way past the glory days of Warped Tour. I said this in the video. The later years of Warped Tour were just like the Wild West. Anything goes. Security was there, but not existed. They didn't do anything. People could just walk in backstage, walk behind the stage, walk into the locker rooms, because sometimes they were at like sporting event, like arenas and like festival grounds and stuff. No rules. Do whatever you want. And it was a different city every night. So it was different security every night. This, like, destination festivals with venue staff dedicated to each venue, that would be much better.
Joking aside, it feels like they're actually, like, they're taking the criticism. You know, it's like, okay, yes. We know things were astronomically bad before, so we really got to make sure we kind of, like, have some goodwill.
And Warped Tour has so many great memories for so many people, bands included, too, but for fans. And that has been really degraded over the years with what we know now because, oh, man, I was at that Warped Tour where all this happened. Or, oh, man, I used to love that band and seeing that band and they did this backstage. So something like this could help. It could help bands that were previously on it. It could help new bands. If they do, I don't know how many they're going to do. We don't know that yet. We don't know prices, dates, if it's a 1 day or 2 day or 3 day festival at each venue. Knowing Lyman, he'd probably try to make it 30 festivals and just say it's not a tour. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I leave it to you in the chat.
This might be a testing the water type of thing. Maybe that's why there's like so few like actual shows. Just kind of like see like how the reception is.
Would you go to Warped Tour 2025? 1 minute poll in the chat. I'm just curious about this right now. Vote on this if you see it. Sight unseen, not knowing a lineup, not knowing prices. Would you go? People are familiar enough with what Warped Tour is. Oh, someone else just said my first Warped Tour was in 2009. Alex, if you see any comments you want to read, Rowan, same thing. Yeah.
Show, yeah, for sure. So I want to know what you think. My thought is with this that it's going to be kind of like a greatest hits of Warped Tour, because it is such a big anniversary. It is such a big year. I don't know if they're going to necessarily, I think they kind of have to pull in some newer bands and kind
of
new up and coming bands some love, but I think it's going to be like a best of with a lot of big names.
I think to get the money back and build the brand back up, they will have to rely on some of the big names that were a part of it. So just, excuse me. So even if they only got for like one date, Blink 182, that would jump things up big time for that festival at that date. Like, you know, that we could go say the dream, like they could get a Paramore, a My Chemical Romance, all these other bands that did really break through with the help of Warped Tour, those time frames, just for like one-off dates, that would help out a ton. Someone just said,
so yeah,
like Coheed and Cambria was a big breakthrough. You know, there's a lot of that stuff. So,
yeah, no, you have like maybe like one or two legacy acts, but then like the rest are kind of like maybe like newer bands with like some decent following, just to, again, give like the smaller guys a chance, you know?
Yes.
Because it was kind of like how it was in the beginning with all the bands who are now considered the legacy acts.
Yes. And it'll be interesting. It's kind
of like a nice sort of like carry on the torch type deal.
Yes, and it'll also be interesting to see, will it be like six stages again? Last tour, Warped Tour I went to was 02. See, okay, Jay in the chat, he definitely was like in the glory days of Warped Tour, like that and before things changed. And yeah, see, I think there's potential. Let's put it that way. There is potential for this to be good, especially if it's just set dates. Say they do 5 or 6. Like last, in 2019, they did 3. And from what I understand, they went fine. So let's say they do 6 throughout the summer. They could pull that off. Where? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where they'd have them. Someone just said Corey Feldman is available. okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm not saying I would go because of that, but if he was there and it was in my area, that would at least get me to entertain the idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's just an event in itself.
Yes,
like even is. He knows it's a joke. He's been on like podcasts where it's like, yeah, no, I know what I'm doing is like objectively bad, but it's stupid and it's fun.
See, I don't know. After once I saw him live and heard some other stuff too, I think he really does take it serious what his music is.
I guess, but I think that's like the joke because like
the joke like, that he's not in on.
Well, here's the thing. I read it as like it's a so bad it's good thing. It kind of doesn't help that on stage he looks like Tommy Wiseau. So you have like the room. So it's like the room of concerts.
He looks across between Tommy Wiseau dressed up as Michael Jackson. And that's exactly, yeah,
exactly.
What
it is. Tommy Wiseau would dress up as Michael Jackson if he ever did music. Let's be real. Corey Feldman is what Tommy Wiseau would be if he did music.
Tommy Wiseau, or Tommy Wiseau, Corey Feldman MCs the show. Ooh, I don't know. Would that work or not? That'd be even weirder because he tried to be funny and we wouldn't get it. So that'd be a whole day of that. No, I can't do that. No, he's a stage performer. No. That's it. No, nothing else. Oh, it's also before I read the poll results, Subhuman says Falling or Diverse may or may not attend depending on the size of the stage. Well done.
Oh,
well done. Ooh, they put him on the smaller stage and that's what causes another fit. Oh, bummer. That's a setup at that point.
They do that like last minute so he can't get out of it, or he has to tell everyone on stage, I'm not going to perform because I don't like this stage. So
well, he's done that before. He's ended his own shows early. He did that at a festival last summer. So
how this man still has credibility, I have no idea.
All right. Without the poll, would you go to Warped Tour 2025? From our live chat, 76% say no. Interesting. Now, again, I get the trepidation on that. Sight unseen, not knowing how much it'll cost, who's going to be there, if it's a 1-2-day, 3-day festival, whatever. I do think it's interesting that like that many people are saying no. Nah. No.
Yeah, that is surprising.
Yeah.
I was kind of like thinking like this would just be like, would you go if you could go and you didn't have to worry about all the other stuff? Like, yeah. You didn't have to worry about cost. You didn't have to worry about like, I guess it's just kind of like a thing where it's just like, hey, it really would depend on who they got as acts at this point.
Yeah. To like think of it also, like, again, the Live Nation thing is going to throw a big wrench into. Oh, by the way, someone said the comeback king, Corey Feldman, playing the comeback festival. Yes, the advertising rights itself. But take the cost out of the equation and say they were vetting bands and making sure, okay, not one band on this poster we have has had any accusations ever. Like, they really went to town and made sure and triple checked. That could go a long way. So
Warped Tour's like PR team is just like, we can confirm, as far as our research goes, these bands are not creeps.
And that research team is just like sweating for 3 weeks straight, eyes run ragged. Just like, oh, there's so much.
You have just like one guy who's just like, eyes are bloodshot, has not slept in like 3 days.
Clothes 5 o'clock dirty.
Shadow.
Yeah.
Trailing a cup of coffee.
We will go. We'll pull whatever information we have as soon as we get it. You know that. I mean, I also see that Katy Perry shouts out Warped Tour because she was on there for 1 year, which is weird to think about. But she was. I think that was the 09.
They need to have some weird combos.
Yeah, they were Warped Tour, especially in the late 2000s, early 2010s. They brought on whoever that was willing at that point.
It was some weird lineup. There was. You would catch like Jeffree Star on one stage. I get it.
Those
outliers.
Yeah.
So you'd see like Jeffree Star on one stage and then like the Millionaires on another stage and then In This Moment on another stage.
The Millionaires. Like, boy, is that a throwback. Woof. And then you'd have A Day to Remember on the next stage following the Millionaires. Yeah, they did whatever. Yeah, they really did whatever.
It was
so
wild.
Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing Gwar 1 year at Warped Tour that I was there. Gwar. That's not a band I would ever associate with Warped Tour, but they were on a tour for a year, at least one. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Funny enough, Gwar is probably like has better relations with their fans than some of the other bands involved in Warped Tour.
Boy, is that saying something.
Yeah, that is telling.
Yeah, sorry. So we'll keep on going. Thank you guys for hanging out. Let's check. Thank you all for everyone tuning in. We have almost 100 people listening in right now or watching our faces on YouTube again. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Last week was a nightmare. This week is not nearly as nightmarish for the news content. So thank you guys for hanging out. I'm refreshing just to double check. I want to see the number right now. If we get to 50 likes, oh, we're way past it. We will be playing Festival Rock or Flop later. Thank you very much. Please keep hitting the like button. Again, if anyone has a super chat or a dues, give memberships. We'll give you your own festival, random festival for a day like Subhuman did last year. If it's up to a certain point, check the pinned comment. Thank you guys so much. Now, we go to something that's good news. Remember good news? Remember when this podcast used to try to have good news to talk about? I remember, because this podcast hasn't
it's been so long.
It really has, except it's only been like 2 weeks. But still. Cough, tickle in my throat. Good news in the form of setting a record. Green Day, Dookie, Double Diamond. What does that mean? They are the 13th album in history, Dookie, to hit 20 million albums sold, copies sold in the United States. Only the 13th.
Ooh.
That's massive.
Oh, yeah.
So they're in extremely rare company. They're in extremely rare company. Only 12 other albums before it, like the Eagles' Greatest Hits, Michael Jackson's Thriller, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, Green Day, Dookie.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's impressive whether you like Green Day or not. That's my favorite Green Day album, by the way. So.
No, this is super impressive. And I think the funniest thing about this is they're technically, they are the 13th album to receive this certification, but they're technically tied right now with Shania Twain's Come On Over. I'm like, all right, hell yeah.
So it's a race between Green Day and Shania Twain.
You all know your assignment.
Hell yeah. Start streaming Green Day's Dookie.
No, I mean, like, go out and buy the album. Go to like a Newberry Comics wherever the hell you can find vinyl.
I could see that being a
good one. Go to Barnes and Noble.
Oh, my best vinyl find ever was at a Barnes and Noble. You're not going to hear me complain. You know what I found at a Barnes and Noble in April? You'll never guess. The remaster sealed that it must have sat on the shelf at that Barnes and Noble since it was released in 2016 of Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here.
Wow.
It sat there for years, and I looked it up when I got home. It's valued now on trade, like on Discogs and stuff, for over $200.
Nice.
Right? Yeah. Barnes & Noble, you might find some gems. So.
You just flip it or whatever?
No, I kept it. No, I'm keeping that one. No. No. That's a gem. Come on. That's great. Excuse me a second.
found a solid record one time at a random little record store. I don't even remember where it was now, but I just decided to walk in there and start flipping through. And I found one copy of In This Moment's The Dream did on blue vinyl. And I think it's only one of like,
I was going to say, that would have been original pressing because that was way back in the day.
Oh, hell yeah. It totally is. And it's like one of my prized possessions now.
I was going to say, I think
there are certain
Go ahead, Ron.
Oh, I'm sorry. There are certain bands that I go out of my way to get vinyls for because like they go a little bit further when it comes to like the customization. Like they like not even just like it has like cool album art, but even they'll do stuff like cool with the vinyl for the designer. Sure. Like that.
I like it.
Like Mastodon.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, that's a good example too. Go ahead with Mastodon.
No, yeah, Mastodon's vinyls are freaking gorgeous. First of all, their album covers are always sick as hell. Like if I were to pick like my favorite album covers, like or of all time, just covers, mm-hmm. Mastodon would be up there. But even like with the actual like vinyls themselves, they have like cool colors. I remember the Emperor Sand Sea like vinyl. I think that was like orange and gold, and that looked really sick.
See,
it's just like, oh, that's just
when the actual vinyl looks a little bit different or they offer something different, I'm okay with it. The two examples I'm going to give, one brand new and one recent. This is a good segue in this from Green Day, because I know Green Day has done big vinyls before. Like when Taylor Swift had Midnights and like collect all four Midnight variants, but it's the same music on the same vinyl. It's just the cover is like a quarter of a clock. So you put all four vinyls on the wall to make a clock. Is that really a collecting thing at that point, or is that just a gimmick?
That's a fine line, because like speaking of Green, going back to Green Day real quick, it wasn't like that long that it was like, I think it was like our second episode that like we talked about like Green Day having like American Idiot was like doing their 20th anniversary. And it was like this big collection. Mm-hmm. So now it's like a thing. Is that collectors? Well, it's a collector's item, but is it like a thing where it's like, is that a gimmick, all the extra stuff they put in, or is that just something like,
yeah,
you know?
And the other example I'm going to show on screen right now, I'll tell you guys what it is, unless you're like watching on too. Linkin Park's From Zero has the same type of idea as Taylor Swift had. You can get one of four variant covers of From Zero, the new album from Linkin Park. And the back of it is just some of the members of the bands. Collect all four to get all the band members.
I think this was like,
that's it.
This is going back to me just collecting vinyls that I know are just like uniquely cool on their own. I think like, here's a little thing. I love Sleep Token. If you guys like know this for Take Me Back to Eden, every single like song has like this like design kind of like tied to it. It's like some sort of like different like creature, and all the different vinyls have like a different one of those creatures on the vinyl. So now you got like some psychos who are like, I need to collect all 12 albums or something.
They will make money. They will totally make money.
No, yeah, I'm just saying, like, people do constantly do this.
Alex Rowan, have either of you, like, done something like that for collecting like that? You know you're buying the same thing, just with a different skin, for so to speak? I don't know if I have.
Kinda.
No.
Kinda, yeah, like, I have. Not even just, like, vinyls, but I also collect, like, comics and manga, too, and, like, a lot of them do, like, special, like, releases or anniversary editions.
Okay.
When, if you guys know the series Bleach, or if anyone in chat knows Bleach, they had like
they had their
big anniversary a couple years back, and they re-released like volume one with like the special cover and all that stuff. And I even picked that up because I freaking love Bleach. Yeah.
Okay. I know like there's a lot of arguments for that too. If people in the chat, if you have any of them on there, let us know too, because there's always going to be something like this. And again, it will make money. And going back to Green Day, I know when they make a new album, I know they do vinyl variants. They did that one with the last one earlier this year, which was a good album, too. It had Coma City on it. It had a bunch of other fun songs. It came out in January this year. It was a good album. I liked it anyway.
Yeah.
So
I think even with Paper Cuts. Oh,
go ahead. Sorry, you're good.
You can go first.
You're good. I think it's cool when they do special re-releases or, you know, special limited runs of specific vinyls, you know, specific colors or, you know, whatever variations. I think that's awesome. As far as like going as far to collect each of them, no. But if you want to do that, hell yeah, you have that option. But I think it's really cool for even the casual fan to like, ooh, did I get the blue one or did I get the red one? It's always kind of fun.
Yeah, I think there's a good way to that, too. If you have the disposable income to collect everything, there are way worse hobbies and vices you could dive into. So
I mean, last example, Linkin Park's Paper Cuts that released last year. Both the cassette, they released a cassette of Paper Cuts, and I think the vinyl too. They had like a thing where it's like it glowed in the dark, and I only knew that because like one of my best friends bought the cassette tape of Linkin Park's Paper Cuts. He does not own a cassette player, but he enshrined it. He just like kind of like built like this little
shrine.
He now has
a nightlight. Awesome. Yes.
Basically, kind of. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Good conversation. That was unexpected on that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So as we go on, now I want to talk about something I saw this past week. I got to reconnect with some friends in the band Star Set. Now, for those you're not aware, Star Set is electronic space rock. That is the best way to describe it. Star Set put on an amazing live show, and they've done that for years. They've been around for 10 years now since their debut album. I was not expecting how big of a deal and how big the production value has gotten for Star Set. I put a short of it on Instagram and on YouTube and on the socials. Not only are there full video board stages, like the stages themselves they stand on have video boards behind them, they have a visual projection in the front of the stage to just like flash lyrics into the crowd. They have smoke and lasers everywhere. Full costumes. This is the most elaborate costumes they've ever had. It's way more than I thought it'd be. Excuse me.
It's just like one of those bands that just like values like kind of like the theatrics of their act.
Extremely.
Like War or Ghost or something like that. They make it like an event, and also they like tie it into like their music. Because correct me if I'm wrong here, but Star Set is like a lot of their music is like around like sci-fi stories, kind of like Coheed and Cambria.
Their own, yes. And they write their own novels, not just comics and graphic novels, actual novels they write. I'm showing on the screen right now what some of the stuff we have is. So if you see, like, it'll refresh on your screen for Alex and Rowan, you were looking at it. They come out fully dressed like this. Dustin, the singer, has a full helmet on, looking like he came out of a Halo game as one of the villains. And it looks great. So they go fully in depth. And like the second image, that's some of the visual projection. Those are spinning blades. And it looks like. Yeah, go ahead.
Dan Lulu looks like something out of Dune. He looks like one of the Fremen.
Yeah, there you go. So, and the second photo is the visual projection. Those are spinning blades so that way you can see through them when you're in the crowd. But that way it'll also flash images and stuff, words, whatever you want, so that we can see all that while it's going as well. It's really smart stuff, cutting edge. And there's a lot of cool stuff they did while there. I mean, this is like they play like video clips to tell the story and lore. This is the immersion tour, and immersion is the right word. So Star Set definitely is destined for like bigger stages on festivals, and I could see that coming next year. For a tour like this to be performed at night outside would be amazing with all the light stuff. That would probably blow people away. So good image right here of this also.
Like shows grow. What they have become today is super rad. I'm so glad you got to see that, and I'm so glad you got such awesome footage of it too.
Yeah, not bad for cell phone and GoPro. I wish I had better equipment. Maybe someday. Dustin actually saying happy birthday to my oldest back in 2016 backstage in incarceration. See, that is a nice birthday present. No one sings me happy birthday. Bunch of garbage. I'm going to have to cut out so many blips on the podcast because I keep coughing. I had a bad sinus infection a week and a half ago, and now my wife is sick and I'm afraid I'm catching it again. And I have a festival to go to this weekend, so I better not be catching anything again. However, I'll figure that out, but that's why I keep having to mute myself. But Star Set stuff was great. I'm really excited for what they have coming up. So, yeah. I sing you happy birthday, blah, 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 blah. Oh, great. Now my wife's angry at me. She's going to get me sick on purpose now. Crap. Enjoy the festival now. Here we go. Moving on.
If I'm sick, you're staying with me. I'm taking you down with me.
Man.
The devious company.
The devious plot to get me to stay home for a weekend. And someone said, which festival? Riot Fest in Chicago. If anyone that hears this sees someone walking around with two cameras hanging off them, come say hi. I'll give you a sticker. I promise I'm nice. Unlike my wife, who is saying that you got me sick. What even? See, there we go. My wife's a sweetheart, but if we're getting each other sick, I don't know how nice we're being to each other. So now that we are running out of time and we have more than enough likes, we still have our tours and albums to get to. So let's go to Alex with some big tour announcements that got announced today. Literally today.
We've got a couple of solid shows on the announcement calendar today. Deftones just announced a North America 2025 tour with the Mars Volta and Fleshwater.
Yes.
It'll be their first legit tour in like 3 years. And I know you two are very stoked about this.
Deftones and the Mars Volta. That is a big, big deal. That is awesome.
Big fan of both of them. And honestly, for the last 6 months, I have been obsessed with Fleshwater. Like, that first album, their only album so far, is really good. Guys, listen to Linda Clare by them if you haven't. That riff goes hard.
Very cool. I'm not familiar with Fleshwater, but I saw them post because of this come up. So I'm excited.
The album
for that
is like 20 minutes long. It's a good, quick, easy listen.
Also, just really quick, Jay in the chat, if that comes out to be true, then we'll report it. And I hope it is. Just some good news in the chat. We're big about good news and stuff like that, too. I just want to make sure we have everything cleared away before we start reporting on stuff. But I'm happy about that. Luke will be the weird person at Riot Fest giving candy to kids. I would eat the candy. Thank you. Look at me. Do I look like I give away candy? No, I do not. White Asylum just gifted 5 memberships. We will be having at least one random festival that is designated to White Asylum Fest. That is awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. That does help a ton. Also, Deftones, by the way, before we go next. And White Asylum, stick around. We'll get to your festival in just a little bit. By the way, I love Deftones. I love the Mars Volta, two of my favorite bands ever. That concert crowd is going to stank like the deadest skunk, the dirtiest weed stank imaginable. And if that's just from one band member in Deftones, the rest of the crowd's going to make it worse. So moving on. I apologize. Go ahead, Alex.
So we've got another one as well. A Bullet for My Valentine and Trivium just announced the Poisoned Ascendancy North American co-headline run. It's going to be from March to May. That's going to be super rad. We've got another stacked lineup on this one. August Burns Red, Psilosis, and Bleed From Within on select shows. It's going to be a great one.
Big tour. Like, they're covering a lot of dates on that one, too. So that's pretty cool to see. Get your 2000s, 2010s metalcore on. Trivium's still great. I still love Trivium. My wife and I saw them last year here in the area. They're still doing a lot of fun. Go for it.
Yeah, that's going to be a really good one.
Yep.
And then we also had another one announced recently. Pussifer Primus and A Perfect Circle are announcing, well, they're doing Sesanta version 2.0 in 2025. So
yes,
that'll be really cool if you caught that one this year.
Yes.
It was rad. So they're doing 2.0.
We had 2 out of 3 bands in Sick New World, A Perfect Circle and Primus, and they're adding Pussifer, which is awesome. Apparently the show is a blast. The bands stay on stage and they just like watch each other play is what I'm hearing.
Well, so, I mean, like between A Perfect Circle and Pussifer, it's just a lineup change for Maynard, basically.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Sesentana, it's celebrating his 60th. This will be Sesentana y Uno. I don't know if that my Spanish is perfect on that one.
It's just cool. It's just cool when like rock stars do something like this. Besides Maynard, I think the only other rock star that I know who made their birthday an event was like David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth makes a lot of things events. That's just the power of David Lee Roth. So
I know, yeah, but like their birthday, like the thing, like, you know, just be like an entire concert for their birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a David Lee Roth thing.
Well, if I could book a full on concert or festival for my birthday, I would too.
Yeah,
it's true.
Also, I would gladly go to celebrate Maynard's birthday because I have been obsessed with Tool to a concerning degree for years.
Yeah. Arklatex Fest, if you do decide what your date's going to be in October, my birthday is in October. I'm not suggesting you do that. I'm just saying it'd be a cool coincidence. I would feel weird if you actually did that. I would feel weird if you actually did that. Don't do that. I would feel weird at that point. Boy, that'd be awkward. So
now they're going to do it because they would feel weird.
Oh, I didn't say what birth. I didn't say what day it was. So they'll all have to guess. So any other, I know there's one other tour you wanted to talk about, correct?
Well, there's cancellation. Brujeria canceled their tour dates due to a severe medical emergency. That's a bummer for Brujeria fans.
That sucks.
And then Silent Theory just released a new album. So they will be hitting the road in October in support of their new album. It's Tell Us How It Ends.
Very cool. I'm a little bit, I know the name Silent Theory. I've heard a couple songs. I'm still somewhat unfamiliar with Silent Theory.
They're super rad. Their first real big like radio hit that I kind of got to know the guys on was Fragile Minds. And it's such a good song. If you want to check out Silent Theory, I definitely recommend Fragile Minds.
Fair enough. Very cool. And anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, I think that's it too. I just want to make sure. There was a lot that got announced today. So that's why I wanted to make sure. So now I go over to upcoming albums with Rowan. What do we have coming up this Friday?
Well, first of all, I am really excited about this because this has just been a band I have been following since I was like, since I first started getting into like alt rock and metal and everything like that. Seether, with The Surface Seems So Far, this is going to be their 9th studio album. I'm just excited for this. I mean, again, it's always like an event for me whenever like Seether comes out with like a new album. Two of their albums, we were talking about this right before the podcast chat, Finding Beauty and Poison to Perish are, in my opinion, two of like their most slept on albums. I know everyone loves Disclaimer 2, but trust me, Poison to Perish, that's a good one. I always love that one. Besides that, funny enough, kind of come back to our earlier discussion, Grateful Dead is releasing Friend of the Devils, April 1978. This is a live album box set that includes 8 complete concerts.
Jeez.
From across April 1978.
That is a box set. Know, jeez.
I know. And remember, 8 Grateful Dead concerts. It's probably like 40 hours of music or something.
I was going to say, those are 3 hours a piece minimum. So
across 19 CDs. 19. I have the Led Zeppelin Mothership album, and I keep getting those like discs mixed up, and that's only like 3 and a DVD, so I can't even my ADHD ass would never be able to keep track of them all.
Okay, then that's a beast.
Yeah.
Okay,
and then we also got Nightwish, a Finnish symphonic metal band with their I'm gonna please be patient with me as I try to pronounce this, Yesterwind.
That sounds right.
I don't know if that
Nightwish,
yeah,
Nightwish is legendary in the symphonic metal side, and they are massive in Europe. They get respect in the States, but not nearly as much in Europe when they're packing it in, and they do great stuff. They've had a lot of singer changes. Not a lot, but they've had a lot of key singer changes. That's the thing that people focus on. But cool to see they got
influence,
new stuff.
They're like, in terms of influence too, just like when it comes to like orchestral or symphonic metal, they're like out there with like Apocalyptica or something.
Yes, but both finished that, if I'm correct. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then just like a last one, this isn't really like a metal band. It's a indie rock band. It's Hippocampus releasing Flood. I just like Hippocampus. Like, I listen to other stuff other than metal, and Hippocampus, they're just one of those bands I really enjoy. They have a song called Bambi, which is just a really chill song. Okay. I don't know. Just like another guilty pleasure.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. There was one thing I also wanted to mention. Someone else mentioned it in the chat. I want to mention it too. Then Dead, their new album comes out on Friday, the self-titled debut. That is Corey and Clown Sons from Slipknot, their band. Their debut album.
How did I miss that? Oh my God. So,
very cool to see that. I saw Then Dead live last year. They're great. They're a lot of fun live. So.
No, yeah, their songs are tight. It's like, it's not like a thing like, yeah, it's cool that they're like the sons of Slipknot and all that stuff, but they genuinely are like great musicians.
Yeah.
And Griff Tao is actually a really good vocalist.
Yep. He also celebrated his birthday this past week. I want to say he's 22.
Griff?
I could be wrong on that age. I don't know. But yeah, Griff.
Oh, wow. I thought he was still a teenager, honestly.
No, no longer a teenager, but still. I met him back in 2017 when he was still a teenager. That's when I first met Corey.
Yeah.
So, that being said, are we ready to book a festival?
I'm ready to book 2 festivals.
We got a 2 days worth of festivals. The first day will be our festival. For those who are not aware, we always play, after a certain amount of likes are hit, Festival Rock or Flop. We book a festival at random. I have a random image generator with over 200 bands to choose from. Whatever bands we get, that's what our festival is. And we are in the business of making money. we want to make a festival that people would want to see. So day one will be our own festival. Day two will be the White Asylum Festival. Thank you again for the gift memberships. Very much appreciated. Awesome to see White
Asylum, which is a good name for a festival, by the way.
We've lucked out the last two festivals. The first one, Subhuman Festival, and this one, White Asylum Festival. We're lucking out with the names. So that's good.
Chat, props to you for just having cool handles all around. It's making our thing sound a lot better.
It's making it stand out a lot better. It's nice. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, let me pull this up. And as always, as I pull the image away, I always show this to make sure everyone knows I'm not cheating. There we go. Alex, Rowan, are you ready?
Yes.
I hope I am. Our first band, Hatebreed. I'm okay with that.
Don't have too much of a history with them.
I'm okay with that.
I hear they have a good track record.
Yeah, fun live. I'm okay with that. Number two, Lorna Shore. This is a heavy festival already. Lorna Shore and Hatebreed fit very well, by the way, for a festival lineup. So this actually fits pretty good. Number three.
Imagine the next one's AHR.
Electric Callboy. We go a different direction, but a fun one.
Yeah, I'm still digging it.
After a lot of heaviness, we get heaviness with a party anthem style from Germany. It's a lot of fun. I'm okay with that. So
that's just kind of like the palate cleanser after Lorna Shore.
Yes, good way to put it. A rewarding palate cleanser too. Okay.
Yeah.
Number four, Alestorm. We're getting the pirate metal now.
This is a very interesting festival.
So it's heavy, but this is where like everyone's just goofing off and having fun singing songs about drinking on a pirate ship and hitting people with an anchor. So someone's saying, though, people are saying they're liking it. OK. And number five, Greta Van Fleet, sticking out like a bit of a sore thumb at a festival like this. However, it would make money. I've seen
Greta Van Fleet live. They're good live. They're not bad.
I think live.
It'd be very different.
It'd be very different. And it'd be the live. Hearing them live is the reason to go and seeing them live. Again, I stand by. Sticks out like a sore thumb. But that's our festival. I'm going to make a poll. Someone just screamed no in the chat. Really? This is the band that gets the no? Really? Okay.
They're not horrible. It's not like you could do worse. Chat, yes. You could do worse. I'm telling you right now.
Honestly, I'm going to have a good time at this festival.
There's a lot of fun to be had with something like this one. So let me make the poll.
Oh, yeah.
Would you go to this festival?
You all agree Highway Tune is actually a pretty good song, right?
Probably the best, or at least their most recognizable. They're most recognizable for sure. Let's put it that way. Electric Callboy, man, it started off in one. We started off in one direction, and we went to a totally different one. Callboy, Lorna Shore.
White just said, Luke, you know my personal bias against Greta Van Fleet.
She does, and it's warranted. So she will be leaving early.
Do I want to ask?
It's not even some, no, I don't think she mind me saying this.
It's cool.
She has Greta Van Fleet has very rabid fans. So if you ever say anything that you don't overwhelmingly love about Greta Van Fleet, the claws come out.
Oh, so they're like Swifties. Okay, got it.
A little.
You made it sound like she personally had a history or something.
No. So get the votes in. I would go to this. I would help run this. I think this would make money. Yes, it's a weird one. This also feels like a true radio station festival, by the way. Like a radio station got these bands. Radio station
festival with Lorna Shore.
Yes. You know why? Because they were on tour with Hatebreed. And they just pulled them in. That's why. I think it'd still make money. I would go to this. Yes, and to my wife, they were very rabid towards my wife in comments and stuff online too, because she
really
said
sorry,
she didn't love.
Know it was that bad.
Well, that's just some fan bases. I've been told awful things about that for some of my opinions. So, few more seconds. Thank you, guys. Any other thoughts about this eclectic lineup of modern bands in heavy music and Greta Van Fleet in a different direction?
Go have some fun.
Yeah, you know what? I stand by it. It would make money. I'm not saying it's the festival of the year. I'm saying it would be money. The mosh pit would be insane for Greta Van Fleet. Oh, yeah. Woof.
It would be just like... Just like the following up from Lorna Shore, in my it's like it's going from Lorna Shore to Greta Van Fleet. And I would just love to see the fan reaction.
We got our ginger in between with Electric Callboy. It'll be great.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Here we go. We got 84% saying yes. Whoa, ooh. That's cool. Oh, sorry, my Steam Deck just farted out on me. I apologize, everyone. Live on the... There it is! Boy, nothing like a live stream to prove that your computer works. Goodness, what was that, Discord? Yowza. All right. White Asylum Festival. Thank you again, White Asylum, for donating to the podcast. It goes directly to us. We really do appreciate... YouTube gets a cut, but this goes like way... So much more of a help. So, here we go. This is White Asylum Festival. Let's see if we can get something better. Band number one. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
All right. Solid start.
Guys, that's a name right there. You once saw a name on the festival? That's a name. You get someone to drag you in. Okay. Yeah. There you go. You can't go wrong with Joan Jett.
I've even like got to like talk to her like once and she was like really cool and all that stuff. So like, I like Joan Jett. Yeah.
Even at her age, she's still cooler than I'll ever be. So that's fine.
Yeah, gotta love Joan Jett.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. So great start. Number two. I have to look that up because I don't even remember who it is. Boy, that's awkward. Fame on Fire. Okay.
I don't know them, to be honest.
They were at some festivals last year. They were an Octane band. So number three. Theory of a Dead Man. I don't love it. I don't love that. Number four.
Again, this is like a radio.
This festival. Is a radio. Megadeth.
Okay. Brought it back.
Megadeth and Joan Jett on the same bill, but also Theory of a Dead Man.
As long as Dave just dials it back on like actually talking and just focuses on playing the songs, we're good.
And number five, Body Counts, Ice-T's metal band. This would get money, and it also falls in the same realm of it's all over the place. Megadeth, Body Count, Joan Jett, those are names.
Oh, yeah. This is going to make some money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, regardless of how you feel about each band, and I am in the camp of show up a little bit later. I'm not dealing with Theory of a Dead Man, but that's just me. Some other people might. Would you go to White Asylum Festival? Megadeth. Body Count. Joan Jett. Fame on Fire. Theory.
Theory is just like that band during, it's like that one band every festival that like you just go back with all your buddies and just like drink until they're done.
Kinda.
Yeah.
I would go to this though. Those are three names. Those are names of value that you would get. And Fame on Fire, I'm unfamiliar with. My wife took that one. She digs them. They have songs on Octane, so it's not like to say they're no names.
Also, Megadeth is like the only one of the big four I haven't seen live yet. So if I did get to see them live and just kind of complete that sort of like thing, that'd be just be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think this works. Also, Body Count's a lot.
It's a good radio.
It is. This is another good one-day radio station festival. Again, that would get names. And it's not just class. Okay, you want to say classic rock if you really want to qualify Joan Jett. I don't think that qualifies, but still. Then you have thrash. Then you have Body Count. And then you have a newer band like Fame on Fire. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, totally.
I know they probably wouldn't perform it, but Body Count has shown they can do a decent thrash cover. They actually did Slayer. Raining Blood some justice. Yeah. Yes. And
they've done that live, so...
Yeah. Okay. Oh, they have. All right. So, if they're following up on Megadeth, that's a perfect opportunity to bring that out.
It's true. Here we go. 2% say yes to White Asylum Festival. Okay. True randomness. But I kind of like how it worked this time because it was randomness that fell on the side of better, you know? It wasn't random garbage. So, White Asylum Festival, along with Subhuman Festival, they both worked. Any thoughts on the festivals we had this week?
Everybody else's festivals really good, are better.
The last 2 weeks, we've booked better festivals for the people donating. And I'm fine with that, so long as our festivals are not garbage. We've had one or two garbage festivals, so...
I feel like, knock on wood here, but like it's been a while since we had like a real head scratcher of a lineup, you know?
Yes.
Like I think like it was 3 weeks ago when we had Kid Rock, which
ruined
it.
It
was just like an insta kill. It was an insta kill for that.
And I do have like qualifier ones in there. Like I have the crowd demands it, remove one band or replace it with the next one. Kid Rock ruins everything, start all over. So I have like qualifiers in for some of these. We just haven't landed on one yet. That being said, though, I think this was a much more peaceful podcast than last week. Thank you guys for all hanging out. Thank you again, White Asylum, for the Git memberships. It does help out a ton when people do that. Thank you all for hitting the like button. So as we get ready to fade away, I will be at Riot Fest this weekend again in Chicago, covering everything live. Follow me on the socials and you can all see the live coverage and stuff I'm doing. Alex, anything you would like to end with, like any messages before we go to Rowan and then Alex's joke / word of wisdom / anything?
This is my last day in London, so I will not have random passersby behind me next week. So thank you for your patience. Whatever's been going on back there.
Fair enough. Rowan?
I will say, just because like we're on a Discord call, so like my field of view is like different. I could see like when those passersby like pass Alex's screen and they're all glaring at the camera super weirdly. And I just can't help but I have to like stifle like my laughter. Even like when we first got on Jeff, this is before the worst we got on the call.
The worst one was the first one. So yeah,
the dude flipped off the screen for some reason. It's just like, okay, dick.
So
that's how you say hello in London, I guess.
I know, but think of that context. You see some random woman on a voice call and your first thought is, okay, let me flip off the camera, not even knowing who's on the other end.
And isn't it also like 2 a.m. where you are too?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm just saying, who is that guy?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So there you go. So thank you all for tuning in. We will be back next week. We have news. I might do a live stream on Monday with what went down at Riot Fest with all my coverage of the shenanigans. Finally, Alex, anything you would like to end with?
So something that I've learned and that I just want to pass on my travels over the past couple of weeks. Don't ever be afraid to ask questions. Okay.
Okay.
Never, ever be afraid to ask questions I'm just going to read this quote because it sums it up perfectly.
Sure.
He who asks a question remains a fool for 5 minutes. He who does not ask remains a fool forever. Seriously, take it with you.
Please. Like Confucius or something?
It is a Chinese proverb, yeah.
Okay, then. I much prefer a Chinese proverb and a good message than a construction joke from last week that somehow got me. I can't believe I fell for it, but I did.
I'm so glad you did.
Uh-huh. Lovely. Thank you all. We'll be back next week. Have a good week this time. See you then.